Welcome to Winning Is Not Everything, where we bring sanity back to youth sports by focusing on character development, effort, and sportsmanship, not rankings and trophies, and conversations with some of your favorite athletes and coaches. I'm your host, Sean Jensen, former NFL reporter, children's book author, and youth sports coach. Today, we've got part two of my interview with Trey Lance, the starting quarterback for North Dakota State University. We're going to focus on the lessons he learned from his record-breaking season and what messages he has for parents and for young student athletes who may look up to him. Let's get to it. This episode is presented by All Over Media, which provides advertising solutions on mobile billboards and convenience stores in 200 markets across the country. I'm not sure there's anything that better represents where we are in time and space right now than Instagram. The end product is a carefully staged and beautifully captured image or video that glamorizes people and places. But behind the scenes, things aren't so pretty and perfect. Trey Lance just capped one of the great seasons in college football history. But that season was years in the making. Countless practices, training sessions, losses and victories, conversations with parents, mentors, friends, and teammates, and the commitment to push himself in 2018 when he redshirted and served as an understudy to one of the top players to ever represent the proud Bison. Let's get to part two of our conversation with Trey Lance. Now, everybody saw what you did this year. Perfect record for the team. You won all these major awards. But tell me about the last year when you were redshirt and you didn't get to play. What were the things that you were doing? What was your focus during that time when you were not going to be able to play on game days?
100% was just kind of focused on copying everything Easton did, to be honest with you. You know, he was a starter last year. Things from, you know, stealing his notes to, you know, honestly just wanted to walk in his footsteps and just, you know, copy everything he was doing, you know, led the team to another national championship, winning his quarterback in FCS history. A guy that wins 49 football games in his career is, you know, a guy that I definitely want to be like. And just seeing the way he handled himself off the field, you know, whether it was with the media or, you know, like I've, you know, talked about little kids, families taking pictures, signing autographs, and just the type of person that he was, you know, sharing his faith even, was just something that I admired about him. And, you know, obviously almost everyone did. Just getting to know him and obviously getting to spend that much time around him last year was just a huge blessing for me. And I honestly couldn't imagine where I'd be without him.
And was he very open to that? Sometimes you hear about, you know, the older quarterbacks who are not as helpful to the younger understudy and things like that. But was he pretty open with you and nice to you?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's one of the things that I never could have imagined, just how willing he was to help me. You know, when I got on campus in summer, he could have easily been like, you know, I got one more year. I'm going to focus on me. You know, I'm going to do everything I can to be successful this year. I'm not going to spend, you know, waste my time, you know, helping this true freshman, you know, this 18-year-old kid when I'm 23 years old and, you know, I've got my future, you know, figured out. So that was honestly just the biggest, not a surprise to me, but just a huge blessing that he was, you know, willing to take extra hours, days, weeks playing college football for, you know, being around it for 5 years. Some of my questions, I'm sure, looking back on it, were very, very, you know, not inintelligent, probably, compared to what he knew and just the things that were going through his head compared to mine. But yeah, he was always willing to help me, answer my questions, laughed at me every once in a while when I deserved it, for sure. But yeah, it was just such a good person on and off the field.
How did you deal with the pressure of replacing him? Because as you said, I mean, he had so much success, led the team to a national title, had won all those football games, was an example on and off the field. Did you feel any pressure, you know, stepping in to replace him when you were named the starter?
Honestly, it was a little bit of a blur. The thing I wanted to do was win games. You know, I didn't want to do too much. I just wanted to do my job. You know, I was reminded every day that I have some great players around me. So I'd say that was the biggest thing. It was just, you know, I was just trying to do everything I could to win football games. I wasn't worried about, you know, whatever else I had to do individually, you know, get the great players the ball, and they're going to make plays. And I think as a team, we did a great job of that. And just getting more comfortable throughout the year in that position to maybe be able to do a little bit more. You know, confidence was key, and just being prepared every week, I'd say, it was the biggest thing for me. I didn't want to let people down. So I did everything I could to be prepared, as prepared as I possibly could have been. So, you know, I could just have confidence and play fast.
What's that one lesson that you're going to take away and apply to the future?
Confidence, for sure. I'd say the games where I didn't play my best were the games that I was, you know, not as confident. One of the things that our offensive coordinator actually talks about, you know, he says preparation creates confidence, confidence creates conviction, and conviction allows you to play fast. So those were, you know, the words that I kind of went by throughout the year and just helped me a lot. You know, I just clearly remember the games that I did not play my best were the games that I did not play with confidence and conviction. So absolutely, I think, you know, mentally, you know, sports are mental. As physical as everything is, you know, weightlifting, running fast, jumping high, I'd say, you know, to get out of yourself, you know, to get out of your own way, you need to have confidence in yourself and what you can do. And it's not, you know, overconfident, but confidence and having humility at the same time.
Your profile's gone up so much over the last year. How do you deal with all the success and all the attention?
I don't know if it's as hard as people think. Honestly, for me personally, you know, social media wise and everything, you see it. But I don't, you know, I see the positive stuff, and I enjoy seeing positive stuff about my teammates. Absolutely, you know, and my coaching staff and all the awards and everything that they've done, and they deserve it. But when I see negative stuff on social media, honestly, I block accounts. That's just kind of how I deal with it. Or, you know, if I see a couple in a row, I'm just going to, you know, get off Twitter for the day, or get off Instagram, or, you know, I don't, you know, even if it's, you know, someone that's maybe doesn't mean something in a negative way towards me, but, you know, it's something towards my teammate, you know, I just eliminating the negative energy and, you know, whether it's social media or whatever from your life, just people in general. I truly believe in just putting positive energy into the universe, you know, speaking things into existence, things like that. So I just don't really, you know, deal with the whole, all the negative stuff about us. But obviously this year, it was a blessing that we didn't have to deal with a whole lot of it. And just not really worrying about, you know, whether it's, you know, Twitter followers or whatever. It's just not something that, maybe for some people it's harder, but I don't think that it's as hard as people think for me to deal with it, because it's just, I don't know, it's just not something that's honestly in my head, you know, worried about winning games every week. If I'm worried about Twitter or Snapchat or something like that, you know, I'm not doing everything I can to win, you know, to prepare to win a game.
So you are playing for the national title game on Saturday. You're a finalist for the biggest award on Friday. Did you ever think about going to that award ceremony and still making it to your football game?
When I, you know, realized I was a finalist for it, I kind of was planning on going. Easton was also a finalist the year before, so he didn't go to the banquet. So, you know, following in his footsteps, I was not going to go to the banquet. So my parents went. I turned my phone off. I was hanging out with our two other quarterbacks, Zeb and Noah, in the hotel that night after meetings. And it was just not worth it. You know, I don't know what I would have done if I would have went to the banquet and missed meetings. You know, we had meetings on Friday night, and just not been there with my teammates, you know, like I had been all other, you know, the 15 games prior. So that was just, honestly, it wasn't a hard decision at all for me to make. It was, honestly, to me, it would have been selfish to go to a, you know, a banquet for an individual award. You know, when we're playing in the national championship game, you know, we're going to send the seniors out the right way, and just do everything we can to win that game on Saturday.
So when did you actually find out, Trey? I mean, if you kind of shut off your phone, how long after the announcement was official that you won before you realized that you'd actually won the award?
I wasn't too long, probably 5 or 10 minutes. Our other quarterbacks, Zeb and Noah, they had their phones. So they were the first ones, you know, give me a hug and say congratulations. And I was probably a little frustrated with everyone, you know, texting me and everything, because it was getting late. You know, I was trying to get everyone, you know, maybe to let's worry about the game tomorrow, you know. And honestly, that award didn't mean anything to me if if we wouldn't have won the game on Saturday. You know, that was the focus. And it was just, it would have been selfish of me, I feel like, to worry about that or to even think about that when, you know, our goal the whole year has been, you know, win the national championship. You know, we've done everything, all the extra work and everything we put in to get to that opportunity on Friday night, you know, to have the opportunity to play for a national championship on Saturday. Yeah, and there was nothing else on my mind but winning that game, honestly.
What's one message you have for youth sports parents today?
Celebrate everything your kids do and enjoy it. It's okay to be hard on them at times, you know, effort, sportsmanship. Those things are important, I think, to athletics, you know, at any level. But at the same time, you don't need to, I don't think, push sports on your kids, but give them that opportunity and be realistic with them. And one of the things that my parents did early in my life was, be realistic. If your goal is, you know, to play at the highest level, whether it's, you know, baseball, basketball, football, golf, tennis, you know, you can't just do the same stuff that everyone else does. You can't just go to practice, you know, 3 to 4 and expect to be, you know, the best in the country, the best in the state. So I think that's one thing that my parents did, that they were real with me and they said, you know, if you're not going to put in extra work, you're not blessed enough, talented enough to just get, you know, just get by, not put any extra work in and be one of the best. And I think that all the greatest athletes, not even athletes, you know, if you're the best in your field, whether you're a doctor, a lawyer, you know, you put in extra work. And that's just, you know, kind of how the world works.
What's one message you try to instill in kids who look up to you?
Work hard and just be thankful for everything you have. You know, the extra work is something that I think athletes do across the board. You know, people do across the board. And just don't forget to enjoy it. That's the biggest thing is I don't regret it. But I wish that I could have, you know, took a step back maybe a few more times in high school. You know, there's going to be days when no matter what you're doing that you don't want to practice, lift, run, but fake it till you make it sometimes is not such a bad saying, in my opinion. Just positive energy, you know, giving it out to your teammates can really change the day, change people's lives. And I think just being thankful, you know, like I've said, just taking a step back and just realizing the opportunity that you have. You know, whether you're on a freshman basketball team, a varsity basketball team, football, you know, running track, everyone doesn't get that opportunity. So I think just making the most of it and just being able to celebrate it with the people around you. You know, no one can do anything by themselves. No one is self-made. You know, it takes a village, it takes a community, and I think we just need to realize that.
Please make sure to subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss the next episode. And please rate and review and share this podcast with your friends. Winning is not everything, but the 3 H's to be a real hero in life are hustle, humility, and heart. I'm your host, Sean Jensen, and we'll see you next time.